So my guest this morning likes a bit of a challenge. It wasn't enough for her to do a marathon. She thought, why not swim the channel? I spoke to her 2 weeks ago, before she was attempting to do this grueling challenge. And I'm very pleased to say this morning that she's joining me on the phone. We were going to speak to each other in person, but that's just changed around. Anyway, welcome to my guest, Leah Chowdhury. Morning, Leah.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
again.
Exactly.
Very good to talk to you. You did it. You did it.
I know. I can't believe it's over. I think I'm still in shock, and it's been over a week now. So yeah, I'm still in shock, but I'm really happy.
Yeah. Over. How long did it take you?
14 hours and 44 minutes.
That sounds unbearable. If I have. Yes. Was there a point where you, I mean, did your training of 18 months, do you think it was enough prep? Did it prepare you enough for it?
I think in a huge challenge like this, you're never going to be 100% prepared for such a huge task. But I think I did as much as I could to get ready for this massive feat. So yeah, I think it did to them as much as it could. But there was still a bit of the unknown that I was never going to be able to control.
Mm-hmm. So what was the most difficult part of it for you?
I think it would have to be the first about 3 hours. Everyone's quite shocked when I say that. It's mainly because I was just so seasick. And then throughout the whole of my training, I've done a lot of open water, seawater swims. But I've never got seasick. So I was, every time I was having a drink every 30 minutes, I was pretty much throwing it up straight away. So I got very nervous, like, oh, I'm not going to be able to keep this liquid down. So I think that the first 3 hours was very, very tough for me.
That's really odd, because you think of people being seasick when they're being chucked around in a boat, not actually in control and swimming themselves. That's very odd.
Yeah, because it's just still choppy, so you're going up and down with the water. So you're actually moving up and down. So that sensation of going up and down, I think it was a combination of that and being very, very nervous. Obviously, it's the biggest time in my life. So I think it was a combination of the two.
I mean, potentially, if you're not able to keep liquid down and something that's using so much of your, obviously you must be sweating along the way, that must have been quite a concern for you at some point.
Oh, absolutely. I think it was a concern from the minute the first time I threw up, because if I can't keep that liquid down, there's no way that I would even get past 6 hours, because your body can't keep going with such a lack of minerals and electrolytes and things. So that was you're completely right, that was my biggest concern.
So did it sort of go away? Did you, after a few hours, did you manage to start keeping...
I had just a bit of a quick 2 second conversation with my coach saying, look, I'm still feeling really seasick. Is there anything you can do? And he ended up putting a seasickness tablet in my next feed, which helped within like 15, 20 minutes. So it was amazing.
Oh, wow. That, yeah. You wouldn't think of doing that.
Amazing. No, I wouldn't. he's very well prepared, I think.
Yeah, thank goodness. Well, we talked last time about you having to gain quite a lot of weight in order to protect your vital organs. What do you think that the weight that you put on was able to do that? Did it keep you warm enough to keep doing it?
Absolutely, definitely kept me warm enough. But the thing is that your body is only going to keep warm for the first 8 to 10 hours. And at 10 hours, I started getting cold. My body started depleting. I just couldn't generate that heat anymore. Obviously, swimming for so long with only liquids, you're going to deplete at some point. So about 10 and a half, 10 hours in, I started shivering and getting very cold. But it did help me to that point, absolutely.
And you still had about 4 hours to go after that?
Yeah, still 4 hours.
So you had to just fight your way through the coldness then?
Absolutely. I think the adrenaline was pumping at that point. I knew that I was in the French water, so
wow.
I just kept going. So yeah, it was very difficult, but I had to.
Yeah, and I say one of the things that fascinates me is you saying to me last time that you were going to be fed on a pole.
Yeah.
How did that work? What sort of food? Was it liquid food only that you were being fed?
Yeah, so it was literally only, it was a bottle, like a protein-sized bottle with like a 250 ml of water. So they would just pass it through. I would swig it quickly and just drop it, and then they would pick it up.
Right, Right, and that, yeah. And so liquid food,
liquid
really.
Only, yeah.
And
liquid.
Because how do you breathe and eat and swim all at the same time? That must be pretty difficult.
I guess with the breathing, because I've been training so much, it was very natural. I would breathe every three. And so that was okay. I didn't find that too much of a challenge. But the eating, obviously, we couldn't. So I was carb loading for like 3 days before. I was sitting down for meals and I was so full I couldn't eat, which is a perfect for a big challenge like this. But it just kept me going, which was amazing. In terms of the drinking, I slowly, after the fourth or fifth feed, I kind of got into a rhythm when I was just turning onto my back, taking on the liquids and carrying on going. So it was not even a 30-second stop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mentally, this has got to be one of the hardest things you've ever done, surely.
Oh, it was. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. And I think coming out of it made me really think, wow, if I can do this, what else can I do in my life? And how much not only me as an individual can you unleash your potential, but what can I do now? And I think everyone kind of asks me the question, right, what's your next thing? What's your next challenge? Mm-hmm. And I think my next thing now is kind of going out there and speaking about this and speaking about what I've done and how I've done it. And you're completely right. It's that mental side. And I want to focus on children and underprivileged and privileged children to understand, get them to understand that if I can do this with the right mindset, what can you guys do with the right mindset too?
Oh, it's hugely empowering. It really
Absolutely.
Is. Unbelievable. Yeah. Your family were alongside you, or some of your family members in the boat alongside you, weren't they?
Yeah, so my brother and my sister-in-law were alongside, providing me ongoing entertainment for 15 hours, which was amazing.
What sort of ongoing entertainment?
So we had like little whiteboards. So there would be like, I've got set up WhatsApp groups and they would write messages that people had sent on those groups. So I could see them, and my cousin and my sister-in-law would get my brother to do little dances and things like that just to entertain me, to keep me going, which is really nice.
Wow. And then the other side, there were some people cheering you when you got there as well. Were they people that knew you, or just random strangers that had just happened upon the fact that somebody was swimming the channel that day?
It was, it was the latter. So it was literally random people had come running down from their houses onto the little beach that I'd come in, and there was over 100 people there.
Wow.
One person actually came up to me and said, "Are you Leah?" And I said, "Yep," because my cousin from Uruguay has been tracking you and told me that you might come onto this beach, so I've been running up and down looking for you.
Oh,
and I'm like, that is amazing.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah,
absolutely mad. Well, you know, the last time we talked, I was asking you how many other people had done this challenge. And I started last night, as I was preparing for this interview, I started to do a little bit of digging. And I thought, I'm sure you've done a bit of digging, because, you know, it's quite a feat. But I thought I'd tell our listeners a little bit about this, because you're actually the second Asian woman to actually swim the channel. Did you know that?
So I'm the second ever Asian woman. But I've just worked out, been confirmed that I'm the first ever British Asian woman.
You're the first British Asian woman.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
But 19-year-old Arati Saha, she's from Calcutta, in 1959 did it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And in total, there have been 1,832 people completing that swim. Some of them have done it multiple times. I think one lady's done it something like 43 times or something.
Yeah.
But the average crossing is about 13 hours, 32 minutes. So the way I see it, with 7.4 billion people in this world, you are pretty unique there.
Yes.
One of 1,800.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Unique is definitely a word I would like to use. And actually, I worked out that out of that figure, I think only just over 30% of them are women. Mm-hmm. And the average age is 36, mm-hmm. and I'm 26. So a lot below average. So
Incredible.
I think I'm in a very small minority.
Wow. Is that the longest that you've ever swam for?
Yeah, so we had to do a qualifier that was 6 hours long, but that was the longest I've ever swum,
Yeah, incredible. Now to the charity side. It wasn't just a jolly for you. You didn't just try and get into the Guinness Book of Records. You have raised an insane amount of money. Just tell us how much.
So I raised £155,000. £105,000 went directly to cancer research. I think I mentioned last time that my dad was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, which is a type of leukemia. So cancer research is very close to my heart. And the other 50,000 went to the British Asia Trust, which is a charity founded by Prince Charles himself to help children within the Asian, kind of South Asian areas to help with education and tackling poverty.
Wow. Incredible. Yeah. And I noticed recently you'd been honoured by the British Asian Trust. They had you over for an awards ceremony of some description. How was that? Were you treated like a queen?
I felt like I was a bit of a celebrity. They invited me to the palace. So I went to St. James's Palace, where the Duchess Camilla was upstairs, actually, when I was speaking, which was I felt very excited. We were in the same building. Mm-hmm. And I just spoke about my feet and the swim itself, and then they presented me with just some flowers and things to say thank you very much for raising such a large amount, which was amazing.
It is a large amount, huge amount of money. You must be very proud of yourself. Presumably, something of this magnitude, which dominates your life for so long, when it's over, there must be the potential to hit a bit of a low.
Absolutely.
That happened?
So my coach, she's been very good. He said, look, a lot of our swimmers do get kind of depressed afterwards, because a lot of your life, you're completely right, is revolved around the swim and your training and your nutrition and talking about it. But I made sure that wouldn't happen. So I sat down with both my coach and my mum, who's a life coach, just to say, what do I want to do now? As soon as this is over, what am I going to do? So I think I've decided to take this kind of bit further, start talking at school, start kind of spreading the word about what I've done. And like I mentioned earlier, kind of making sure, more motivating these children to change their mindset to like the change from I can't to I can mindset. So I'm really focusing on that and making sure that I get out there, do a lot of interviews and speak to a lot of people and things like that.
Because not everyone's going to want to swim the channel, of course, but there are lots of people out there. We live in a world where people are easily defeated about their dreams. You know, they sort of sabotage them before they even start. And what's hugely inspiring is when somebody like yourself comes along and says, right, I set a plan, I set a focus, I wanted to do it, and I did it. Because then, you know, they can see that it's reality, that somebody such as yourself can achieve something, so could they. And from my point of view, I mean, I would love to see you talk live about how you set in progress what you were hoping to do and actually achieved it. So I think you're right. I think that's the way to go to talk about this amazing thing, because you are very, very unusual. As I say, only 1,832 people have ever done it. So it's just to raise that sort of money, it's astounding. It's astounding.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Yesterday when I was in the hospital, I was talking to many of the patients that we were seeing, and I said that I had you coming on today, and many of them said, how much did you say? How much did you say? Did you say that right? And I said, yes, 155,000. And that is incredible. How does someone go about raising that sort of money? So, I mean, you know, it's not just me. I know there are a whole host of people out there that just think that this is just off the scale, really.
Oh, so do I. I think it's absolutely amazing. I think I have the most amazing support around me, and I've been fortunate enough to have time to kind of go out and really rally that all up and speak to people and get people to understand what I'm doing. I think that's what the key thing was when I was raising the money. People had questions, and when they got those, they understood what I was doing and understood the charity. And I think that's what kind of spurred them to donate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's an amazing thing you've done. So well done. Just a huge well done.
Thank you so much.
It's been lovely talking to you both times, and good luck with the next challenge, whatever that may be.
Thank you so much.
And I know when we started off this interview off air, you were saying that you feel a little bit tired still. I would imagine it's going to take quite an amount of time to get that out your system.
Absolutely.
I mean, nearly 15 hours in the water, that's got to deplete your energy levels quite a lot.
Yeah.
So I hope you're looking after yourself and taking time to recover.
And, yeah, I will do.
Yeah, and thank you so much for coming on again.
Thank you very much for having me, and I'll speak. Hopefully, we'll be in touch and speak to you soon.
Yeah, be lovely. Okay, thank you, Leah.
Thank you so much.
Well done. Bye. Well done.